using over these weeks of Advent to study afresh the angelic announcements that the Gospels speak of that lead us up to the birth of Christ. And our theme this season has been that line from O Little Town of Bethlehem that says, "We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell." And so we've considered the glad tidings of God's faithfulness and the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, and we've considered the glad tidings of grace and glory in the announcement to Mary concerning the birth of Jesus, and we've looked at the glad tidings of Christ's mission in the announcement to Joseph. And so today we reach, as it were, the summit of the Advent passages. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. Most appropriate narrative passage in the Bible to consider on this Christmas morning is one that I think I first heard spoken and read by that great theologian and philosopher of our times, Linus. When I was just a little boy, I heard Charlie Brown ask, "Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?" And Linus said, "Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about." And he read from the second chapter of Luke's Gospel. And he said, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And he was right. Because the text that we're about to read helps us amid all the chaos and all the hustle and bustle of the season to remember exactly what Christmas is all about. So we continue our study of these angelic announcements by looking at the words spoken to the shepherds, the glad tidings of a Christmas gospel. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. This is God's word. "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. But this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them." Luke gives us two scenes here. He gives us the scene about the birth of the Lord Jesus. And then he tells us there were some shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. It was just an ordinary night in those fields for a little while. And then an angel showed up and stood before them. He had just come from the very presence of God. We know that because he was still radiating the glory of the Lord, filling those dark seen in every angelic encounter that we have looked at this season, the initial reaction is one of fear. And in every case we've considered, the first words of the angel are always, "Do not be afraid." And the reason why these shepherds are encouraged and admonished to not be afraid is that the angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy." Now, the words "I bring you good news" in our English Bibles, or maybe you have "I bring you glad tidings," this comes from a Greek word where we get our word evangelism. To evangelize is to proclaim the good news. The noun form of this verb is where we get our word gospel. And so the angel is saying to these shepherds, "I have come to you with the gospel." The gospel of Jesus Christ is indeed good news of great joy. And this news comes to the shepherds like all good news stories do. Maybe some people in here who were journalism majors or who have had a hand at journalism in their lives. And you know, any good news story answers important questions to get down to the heart of the matter. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And in the brief message given to the shepherds by the angel, every single one of those questions is answered. And so what is the good news of Christmas? What is this good news? Now, I learned early in our marriage that men and women handle the news of a baby's birth differently. I would go to the hospital to make a pastoral visit to a new mom and baby, and I would come home and I would say, "Good news, baby's born, everybody's healthy." Donnie would say, "What's the name?" "Ah, I forgot to ask that part. The boy or girl?" "The boy. Unless it was a girl. I can't remember exactly." "How much did it weigh?" "I didn't ask that question." "You don't ask grown-ups that question. Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Bob. How much do you weigh, Bob?" It's not a question you think to ask someone. How long was the baby?" "I don't know. I didn't measure the baby. I don't." You know, so I learned, I got to ask all these questions because inquiring minds want to know. So, you know, I just would stand there and say, I'm going to have to get back to you on some of this. I don't know. All I know is the baby is born, healthy. Now, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds and announced that a baby has been born. And the angel doesn't say, "Here's how much he weighed, here's how long he was," all this. The angel just says, "The baby's been born," but he says something more important than all that other information, because he says a Savior has been born. So the announcement is that this baby who's been born is no ordinary baby. This baby is the Savior. Now, the news of a Savior is good news for people who need saving. And this baby had been born to save human beings from their greatest peril. Now, remember that the angel had announced to Joseph in Matthew 1, "He will save his people from their sins." So this is the Savior whose birth had been announced from the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God made a declaration that there would come a Redeemer, the seed of woman, foreshadowing the virgin birth, who would deliver a crushing, fatal blow to Satan and deliver humanity from the curse of sin. Isaiah had looked forward to that day and spoke of the virgin birth and the coming of this son who was given and this child who was born. And he looked forward to this day when that anointed servant of the Lord would come and offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all humanity. He would die a death that he did not deserve to redeem sinners and reconcile them to God. And so centuries of waiting had elapsed. The angel comes bringing the good news that the wait is over. The Savior has been born. Now, some of you are news enthusiasts. You just keep the TV on the news all the time. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. I'm not a news enthusiast. If the story doesn't have anything to do with something I'm interested in, I just change the channel. News is boring to me unless it has something to do with something I'm interested in. And you might be like that. So I want to tell you that the news that a Savior has been born to you is of no interest to you at all if you're not a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you can just turn the page and change the channel because this news is not for you. Oh, but here's the thing. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us this, and we don't have to look far in the world to see the truth of it. We are all sinners. We are all in need of a Savior. And so this news is relevant to every one of us. All the longings of all humanity, long oppressed in bondage to sin, are met in the birth of this child. He is the Savior. This announcement is the good news of Christmas, that a Savior has been born. Well, who is this Savior? Who is this news about? Verse 1, Luke tells us that the story takes place during the reign of Caesar Augustus. Born to the sister of Julius Caesar, he began his life with the name Octavius, came to also be called Octavian. Following his uncle's death, he became one of three men to govern the Roman Empire in what was called the Second Triumvirate. One of those three rulers was exiled. Another, Mark Antony, committed suicide. And Octavian became the sole emperor of a Roman Empire that had been corrupted, that had been weakened, and that some would say the future of it was even uncertain. So when he became the sole emperor, the Senate of Rome gave him the title Augustus. It means the illustrious one or the revered one. And it was with his ascension to the imperial throne that the times known as the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, began. By the time of the birth of Jesus, Augustus Caesar had been in power alone or as part of the triumvirate for 44 years. And during that span of years, there were legends that grew up around the man. The date of his birth began to be celebrated. And on the date of Augustus' birth, people would say, oh, this is the day of good news, of great joy, for on this day the Savior of the empire was born. And Augustus was considered by so many to be the Savior of Rome. Now with that in mind, you can imagine that these shepherds out in the field hear this news that this angel brings when he says, I bring you good news of great joy that a Savior has been born. They probably don't know what to think. Is this some new emperor? Is this some new conqueror that's going to help unshackle us from Rome? Has Augustus had a son who's to be his heir? Who is the Savior who's been born? The words of the angel make it clear that this is not a mere mortal who will govern an earthly empire. The Savior who's been born is greater even than that. He is infinitely greater than Augustus, the so-called illustrious and revered one. This Savior is none other, the angel says, than Christ the Lord. Now, we don't know what language the angel spoke to these shepherds using. I would say probably Anglish. No, I don't know. But I know that Luke recorded it in Greek. And the word that he used here when he says Christ the Lord. Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah, Mashiach. And it means the anointed one. This is the one whose coming has been promised. God's anointed servant who would come as the ultimate prophet, the ultimate priest, and the ultimate king. He is Christ and he is the Lord. Now the word Lord could mean a human being who possesses authority. But the immediate association in the mind of a Hebrew person in that day when they would hear the word Lord, especially in a context like this, would be God himself. There are many lords, but this is not a Lord. This is Christ the Lord. This is the Lord of lords, the one whose authority surpasses the authority of all others. In this person, Jesus, God has become a man, and this incarnate God is himself the Messiah. Says that a Savior has been born. And who is he? He is Christ, the anointed Messiah, the Lord God of the universe, incarnate as a man. Now, when did this good news take place? You know, the internet has revolutionized the way that many of us receive news. The phrase breaking news doesn't quite mean what it used to mean. Once upon a time, they might come on the screen on your television and say there's been breaking news, and they'll talk about something that happened 2 days ago. But nowadays, when you hear the phrase breaking news, you know it means seconds. Seconds ago, this thing happened. It's really telling today when you watch the news during some breaking crisis, and all the people at the news desk are sitting there looking at their iPhones, telling you what's being posted on Twitter. I would think, why don't I just get Twitter and then I don't need the news guy, you know? But breaking news comes to us immediately today. There's no lag in this. Now, the angels of the Lord didn't have Twitter, but they still could deliver breaking news the moment it happened. And the angel says to the shepherds, today the Savior has been born. It just happened, and these shepherds are the first to know about it. Now, when we say today, we mean, of course, today, right? Today, December 25th, today. This is the day, right? Well, if you don't already know this, I'd rather you hear it from me than from someone else. No, we don't know this. We don't know that December 25th was the day. Now, some have said that it could not have been December 25th because shepherds would not have their sheep out in the fields at night in the middle of winter. Typically, you'd only find this kind of scene taking place between March and November. But before we allow that to dismiss the date of December 25th, we should acknowledge that some Jewish ancient sources speak of a particular group of sheep that were kept out in the field year-round, even in the deepest parts of winter. And those were the sheep that were being raised for the sacrificial slaughter at the temple in Jerusalem. They would have been raised in this very region by shepherds just like these, in fields just like these, and could well have been in those fields that night. Now, if we could somehow prove that Christmas did take place on December 25th, that would mean that these shepherds are very significant shepherds. Because these shepherds are raising lambs for the slaughter in the sacrificial system of Israel. Now, unfortunately, we just can't connect those dots. Well, there are some who insist that the date of December 25th was just chosen centuries after the fact by the Roman Church in order to Christianize some pagan holidays, some winter solstice celebrations. And, you know, there are some pagan winter solstice celebrations at this time of year, but a few of those originated after the time of Christ, and one could well be argued to have been invented to cover up the date of a special day celebrated by Christians. Though we don't know what that particular occasion was. It's true that the official date of Christmas didn't get established until the middle of the 4th century. But when those Christians calculated the date of December 25th, they didn't just pick a date at random, and they didn't choose a date to compete with pagan festivals. Rather, they calculated certain traditional dates in the life of Christ and certain things that they knew for sure when they happened, and they came up with December 25th. Now, they could have been wrong. We don't know that they were right. And we will likely never know for sure. And ultimately, it's not important if Christ was born on December 25th, or if he was born on November 4th, or if he was born on May the 3rd. It doesn't really matter what date he was born on. What matters is that he was born. What matters is what happened and who he is and why and how he came. For the shepherds, the point of the message was not, this is the day the Savior has been born, so circle it on your calendars, and next year put a tree in your living room and hang your socks over the fireplace. That was not the point of this message. The point of this message was that the Savior has been born today. Today marks the beginning of a whole new world. Today, nothing will ever be the same. That's the point. Today, everything changes. Well, where did this good news take place? What it was the birth of a Savior. And who he was Christ the Lord. And when was it? Today. Where does this good news of Christmas take place? Now, And most of our nativity sets, you know, we just have kind of nativity light over here. We just have Mary, Joseph, and Jesus over here. But in most of our nativity sets at home, we've got a big spread. We've got the animals, and we've got the shepherds and the wise men, and we've got all these other folks there. Now, I'm a stickler for detail. My wife will ask and appreciate your prayers. Because in our house, the wise men have to go across the room. They can't go at the manger scene. Because they weren't there. They saw the star that night. They didn't see the baby that night. They had to travel a long way from the east to get there. And by the time they get there, you know, they're talking to Herod. We can pick up from the details of that story in Matthew. It could be 2 years later. When they came to see Jesus at the house, he was in a house. He wasn't in the manger. He was in a house. And so, imagine I have to go all the way across the room. Donya says, why do they have to go all the way over here? Because we got to do it right. We got to do it right. She's willing to give in on that. I stick those for detail. Now, but the shepherds, see, who do you think has a better advantage? These magi, these impressive figures coming from afar, traveling in some luxurious caravan, or these shepherds, sheep herders out there? I tell you that those shepherds had a tremendous advantage over the magi on that night. Because the angel said, today, Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. And he's been born in the city of David. Oh, well, that just happens to be right over the next hill. And we can get there now. We can get there now. They were close by. Now, when the word city of David are spoken, two cities can come to mind. Jerusalem, of course, the place where David lived and reigned as king. But it was Bethlehem that was always known as David's city. It was Bethlehem that was the place of his birth and the place of his people. And even the shepherds understood when the angel said, today in the city of David, they didn't get into a huddle and say, is he talking about Jerusalem or Bethlehem? Which one is it? They said, let's go to Bethlehem. They knew when they heard City of David that they meant Bethlehem. Now, why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? And a really easy answer. Because that's where Mary was. Right? I mean, that's kind of a joke, but it's true. If she'd been in Miami Beach, he'd have been born in Miami Beach. Right? But she was in Bethlehem, and why was she in Bethlehem? Well, she was in Bethlehem for a reason. You say, yes, the Bible tells us right there in verses 1 and 2 that there was a census. And this census said everybody had to go back to their hometown. And Joseph went to Bethlehem, and so off they went there. And so that's why she was in Bethlehem. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Augustus Caesar demanded it. Well, why did Augustus Caesar demand it? You see, these are all secondary causes. It was God himself who orchestrated the events of that journey to Bethlehem. Augustus Caesar died when Jesus was a teenager or younger. He never knew about Jesus. He didn't have a care in the world about Joseph, Mary. He really didn't care who went to Bethlehem and who stayed in Nazareth. All he cared about was that they wanted to get the right amount of tax money in. That's why the census had to take place. But there was a hand of God at work orchestrating these things to get this pregnant woman to Bethlehem for this baby to be born there. Why? Because 700 years earlier, the prophet had said that the Messiah would come from that city. Micah chapter 5. Micah says, there the Lord says through him, O Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, one will come forth from you to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And he goes on to say, he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name. The Lord is God. They will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. And this one will be our peace. Now you say, well, I can't read that in Micah 5, 2 through 5. I can't read that and say for sure that that is talking about the Messiah and when and where he's going to be born. Well, keep this in mind that there were others who could read that, could come up with that answer. Remember when the Magi came to Herod, They said, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? This is my paraphrase. Herod says, how should I know? I'm just the king. I'm not a preacher. And so he gets the scholars around him, and he gets the scribes and the priests, and he says, where's the Messiah supposed to be born? And they say, well, there's something about this, something about that in this book here. And they start looking at it, and they say, aha, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Because Micah 5:2 tells us so. So it's clear enough for them to get it. It's clear enough for us to get it too. But it was very important for this child to be born in Bethlehem, because the Lord had promised that that's where he would be born. So that song that we sing, written by Phillips Brooks so many years ago on his way into that little town of Bethlehem, those words are true that say, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Christ the Lord was born there in the city of David. Now, this is a Christmas message brought by an angel to these shepherds, and it's good news. A Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. He was born today in the city of David in Bethlehem. Now, how did this good news come about? Luke tells us in chapter 1 that the angel had announced to Mary that she would conceive the Savior in her womb, though she was still a virgin. And chapter 2 begins by him telling us how they came to Bethlehem and how she delivered the baby there. But the angel doesn't go into all that with the shepherds. He says, you'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. Now that's enough to say that the good news of Christmas took place in a way that was both ordinarily normal and strangely bizarre at the same time. Perfectly normal to find a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. In fact, you could go to the hospital and find dozens of them today, wrapped in swaddling cloths right after they're born. 11 years ago today, Donya and I drove for an hour in the snow to bring home our firstborn child from the hospital. Christmas Day, 2000. And we lived in Maryland, a long way from the hospital where he was born, and so we drove home in the snow. I was a paranoid papa, driving in the snow with a new baby in the back. But before we left that hospital, they made sure we knew how to swaddle the baby in cloths, you know, wrap it around tight this way, tight that way. Well, I could still do it. I'm a good swaddler. You could still do this. That's normal. But my son, my daughter, your children likely never laid in a manger. Now that's just weird. Manger is a feeding trough. Might say a slop bucket if you're used to farming pigs instead of sheep. This is where the animals eat. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths. Got it, wrapped in cloths. Yeah, okay. In a slop bucket. Oh, that's weird. What's the baby doing there? Angel said, that's a sign to you. It's a sign. If they hadn't given the sign, it's lying in a manger, they could have looked all over Bethlehem that night and found lots of babies that are wrapped in swaddling cloths. Only one lying in a manger. There's something beautifully symbolic about Jesus being placed in a manger. He'd left his glorious throne in heaven and come to rest in a crude, humble manger. He had joined his glorious divine nature with the frailness of humanity. And so his manger really reflects for us the humility and the condescension of his incarnation. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And that brings us to the final matter in this good news. Only one question remains to be answered. Why? Why this good news? Why the birth of this Savior? Why Christ the Lord in Bethlehem today? Why? There are two very important words, so easy to overlook, in the angelic announcement that explain exactly why this baby was born. The good news for these shepherds is not just that a Savior has been born, but that he has been born, the angel says, for you. For you. Today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You have to understand that these shepherds were not very highly esteemed in their society. A shepherd was something of a social pariah. They had bad reputations. People didn't like them. They were considered to be dishonest and shady, considered unclean by the religious people according to the standards of the law. But they might have been raising sheep for the slaughter in the temple, but they could never attend the temple. They could never participate in the sacrifices. But it was to the likes of those shepherds that the good news goes forth, that God has sent his Son, the Savior, for you. Think about it for a minute. That announcement could have gone to anyone in the world. And God chose a group of despised, forgotten about, nameless shepherds. The lowest rung on the social ladder. And he says, this Savior's been born for you. They say, well, I'm no shepherd. Doesn't describe me at all. Well, the good news is not just for shepherds. The angel says in verse 10 that the news that he's bringing is good news of great joy, which will be for who? For all people. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you've done, no matter what anybody else thinks about you or what you think about yourself, the good news of Christmas is that this Savior, Christ the Lord, was born for you. Jesus, the greatest gift ever given, was given by God himself for you at Christmas. Have you received this gift? Have you received Jesus as your Savior? For you he was born. For you he lived. For you he died. And for you he is risen and ascended back into heaven. It is for you that today he is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. He came to save you from sin. He offers you the gift of himself. If you've never received that gift, what a day to receive it. Christmas Day. I don't know what the rest of this day has in store for you, but it won't match that. You receive the gift of eternal life from God, the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Well, if you already have received that gift, then I pray that throughout the rest of this day and even throughout the year that is to come, you'll keep this in the forefront of your minds. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. As we reflect on that, drawn into the chorus of worship that all the angels of heaven sing, and they sing forever these words: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Glory, glory, glory to God in the highest. Father, this is our response to you today. Lord, glory to your name for the gift that you've given. Oh, Lord, the highest glory to you, the highest God, for this, the greatest gift. Today, for us in the city of David, the Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born. Thank you for this good news of Christmas. And we pray, Almighty God, before this day is out, that we will either receive this gift or give it to someone else, or maybe even both. Hear us, Father, this Christmas day, in our silence as we commit ourselves to you afresh in response to your word.